On today's show, we welcome Billy Richards, an ultra runner from Central Islip, Long Island in New York. Welcome to the show, Billy.
Thank you for having me.
Mate, I'm excited to have you on. I'm often excited, but today even more so because I've got an ultra event, my very first ultra coming up this weekend. And now it looks like a tiny little baby run compared to what you've been up to. So I'm very keen to see how this conversation unfolds. But for those listening who have not yet come across you, could you tell us a little bit about your endurance life?
Okay, so basically I started my endurance life back in 2010. I was still in the military at the time. And, I started out with road races, marathons, everything like that. And then a couple years down the road, when I got out of the military in about 2013, I got introduced to, Spartan racing. So I started with the obstacle races, Spartans, Tough Mudders, just various brands of that. While I was in the Spartan racing, I kind of tapped into the more extreme endurance stuff. I got invited down to do the death race. I ended up getting into World's Toughest Mudder. And one of the things, my original starting point with working out in fitness is I pretty much started out as a gym rat. I was into lifting weights and, pumping iron. I always used to watch like all the big action movies. So I wanted to be like larger than life and everything. So what got me into the ultra realm was I kind of went back to weight training towards the end of 2014. In 2015, I sustained an injury. I ruptured my left tricep tendon lifting weights. And while I was waiting for that to heal, one of my friends found this relay event called, it was the Palmanuck Trail 70K. So 70K is like 43 and a half miles. And they had a solo option. So I figured I'd give it a try. I did everything wrong, but still somehow pulled it off and finished. And I was pretty much like hooked on it. It was a trail race. There was an unpredicted 5 inches of snow. It was about 20 degrees out. My water supply completely froze. I was wearing street shoes. I was slipping and sliding everywhere. My left arm was still in a brace from having surgery on my tendon, so I had no use of my left arm. Yeah, so I did everything wrong, but it still worked out. So, that's pretty much what started the ultra endurance, part of it and everything. And later on that year in 2015, I started carrying an American flag with me to, honor our military and just to be a little patriotic. And, 2015, that pretty much like started like a lot of the stuff I'm doing. I also ran my first 100 miler later on in the year. So
much happening, and like it's so interesting to imagine. Like I'm going out for a run this weekend, and it will get cold, and I've got thermals, we've got all the different things, but like my water source freezing, it's like 20 kilometers between aid stations. Like what do you do then? I mean, like
that was a rough one too, though, because it was a 10-mile stretch. And I had this pack with like some Red Bulls, and Red Bulls are pretty much like the last thing you want to use to hydrate with, but it's all I had fluid wise. So I drank every Red Bull I had just because I was so thirsty, like I had no water, no nothing. And then it was funny though, because this was like a freak winter storm that like nobody predicted. And, it was about, it was like 20 degrees out, 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in Celsius. It's below zero though. But, there was that. And then, around 9 o'clock in the morning, everything thawed out and the course went from being icy to super muddy. And, I had like a military issue backpack on and everything, and I was slipping and sliding everywhere. And my main thought about it was just not to fall on my, left arm. So,
Yeah, and to think like, military life, respect to everybody that's able to do that, because, I'm not that hard to be able to manage that. But it does sort of speak to the idea that perhaps, you develop a mindset, may have had it before going in, but then coming out and just being able to do all these different things, you, like turning up like injured at that level and going, I'm going to do it. It turns to snow. You're not pulling out. Like, you didn't pull out. Like, so I'll be keen to sort of dig into the mindset, you know, as we go along. But from your perspective now, you're actually on, like, something even like a quest, this massive quest right now to break a record. So can you tell us about that?
Well, I researched the record for most 100 mile finishes in a calendar year. I saw that it was 41. The person that currently has is Ed Ettinghausen. And I've done multi-day ultra events before. I did, I've done stuff. I've ran 9 ultra marathons in 9 days. I've done 750Ks in 7 days. I've done, I did 4 marathons in 4 days with 45 pounds on my back before. So I've done all these little events and everything with short periods of recovery time. So it's one of those things where I just kind of figured I could do it. And prior to this year, I didn't have too much 100 mile experience. I've done 10 100s before the year started. The first one being in 2015. So I really haven't been running 100 milers for that long. And the first one, if you asked me about this, like after my first 100 miler, I would have told you you were crazy. But then I just came, ended up doing another one. My first 100 miler actually put me in the hospital, if you want to hear that story.
Whoa, yeah. But, what happened there?
All right. So I didn't really, prior to the 100 miler, the longest race I did was a 50. So, I'm on, I'm riding up there in the car with my friend and everything. And he's talking. And then, if you can't do it this, if you can't do it that, so on and so on. But, I get to the race and I felt great. Like the first 50 miles, I knocked out in about 10 hours, and then the second half just almost like did me in, what I'm saying? So like after about mile 50, I had to reduce down to a walk. You have a 30 hour time limit. So I finished the first 50 miles in 10 hours. I ended up finishing the race in 29 hours and 25 minutes. So it took me almost double the time to finish the second half. As I was out there, about mile 75, I started to lose control of stuff a little bit. I started to shiver uncontrollably, but I had them stand me up, walk me out of the aid station, and I kept going. By mile 93, my whole world felt like it was crashing down on me. I was dizzy. I was overheating. So I had them put ice on the back of my neck, stand me up. When I got about 2 miles out from the finish line, it took me about an hour to get the last 2 miles in. My left hip flexor balled up. It was about the size of a softball. And my right quad like started to kind of lose control. So the last like 2 miles, I almost felt like I was walking on stilts. Like I had like no control of my muscles whatsoever. I just somehow hobbled across the finish line. And once I got my buckle, I sat down, I ate some stuff, and after I ate, my friends tried to stand me up, and I couldn't power my legs at my own will, They shut down completely, and they brought me over to a picnic table. They tried to stretch me, and every time they moved my legs, it felt like somebody was taking a knife and ripping into it. It was like the worst pain you could ever imagine. Mm. So after that race, it was about a 7-hour drive from where I lived. I mean, I didn't drive. My friend's girlfriend at the time drove us up there. So they threw me in the back seat of his car. And then she drove us back down to Long Island. They carried me back to my car. And I drove like about 30 minutes back to my house. I get to my driveway and then I couldn't get out of my own car. So I slept in my own driveway overnight. And then I started, I'm a veteran in the military, so I don't go to regular hospitals. I go to the VA hospitals. So I started posting updates on Facebook asking if anybody was around to take me over to the VA hospital. And I ended up having to take off of work. They brought me over there and I started asking them, did I tear any muscles? Well, what did I do? So, the doctor, they took blood work and everything. And he'll be like, well, you didn't exactly tear anything, but you're not going anywhere either. We checked your blood levels and a normal person's creatine kinase levels are about 100. Yours are at 7,000. So we have to admit you because you have a mild case of rhabdomyolysis. So yeah, I basically what rhabdomyolysis is it's exertion to the point of cell death. So you work yourself out until the point where where all the internal components of your muscles start leaking into your bloodstream, and it could potentially shut your kidneys down. So it's a pretty serious condition. I ended up spending like about 3 days in the hospital afterwards until my all my blood levels went back to normal. So that was the story behind my first one.
Far out, far out. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And like, again, how is it that you're not stopping? Like, at the point of, these moments where you almost can't go on, you can't move, you can't, and like, you're on the stilts, is it just because you're 2 miles out? Is it do, how is it that, do you have some anti-quit,
If you're like 98 miles into a 100 mile event, you're not gonna stop. You're like right at the finish. You're right there. You'll crawl if you have to, especially after that amount of pain and suffering. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's got to be worth it. You got to be finishing it. And so
Oh.
I guess your zone of what is capable for you now has stretched to such a point where 4,100 milers in or and some in a year is within the realm of possibility for you, which is very exciting. And so what number are you up to now? Was it 18, I think I
I
had
just
seen?
finished 18 this weekend.
Yeah, and so progressively, is your body able to recover from all of that? Because I imagine doing 100 mile and I'd be wrecked, similar probably to your story. But
Yeah,
yeah.
you do get wrecked. I'm not gonna like build up like a tall tale or anything though. Believe me, I'm hurting. But I did feel invincible until about the 15th one. And then on number 15, I was running down the mountain and I caught a shin splint in my right side. Well, they said it's a shin splint, but there's a little lump. So there's a possibility I could have tore some fibers in my anterior tibialis, which is the muscle on the front of your shin. So, I did that at about mile 80 and I ended up like power hiking the last 20 miles in. And I actually took first place on that one. Only two of us finished. It was just a race. It was a 10-mile loop up and down the mountain that we did 10 times. But that was the Peak Ultra in Vermont. And that almost set me back a little bit, though, because I came out the very next week for the Keys 100. And the pounding on the pavement kind of did my shins in. So that one I only made to mile 65. And I had to drop from that race. And then the following weekend, I took off. And then I came back and I was right back on schedule. So, since that race, my shin's still recovering a little bit. One of my sponsors is a physical therapy office, so they help me out. It's Performax, they're a local physical therapy place, but they've been working on my shin, and throughout the whole process, they've been working on stretching, mobility, cupping, blading, electric stim, stuff like that, and they've been kind of keeping me in the game. So, they've been doing a good job at it. After that shin incident, I finished three more. And I went right back to Vermont for this race called Infinitus. I don't know if you ever heard of it,
No, I
but
saw this picture of you in front of the logo, it looked like, with the skeleton crawling with a sword. I was like, oh, that looks pretty dark.
it was a good race to come back to. It was a very rugged one again in the mountains. However, it had a very 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 lenient time cutoff, so it had a 48-hour cutoff. So being that I was injured, but at the same time, it was a race that I can kind of chip away at. You know what I'm saying though? So it was a 7 mile loop and a 20 mile loop. So you did 3 7 mile loops and 4 20 mile loops. So it came out to 100 miles. And with that race, every time I finished a loop, I sat down for like about 45 to an hour, chilled out. I finished it at 39 hours. It had a 48-hour cutoff, so that was a good race to come back to. However, the following weekend was the Eagle Up Ultra, and that wasn't even classified as a 100, as it was a 24-hour race. So I had to go from a race where it was a conservative pace and chilled out to having to finish 100 miles in under 24 hours. And I managed to pull that off with about 10 minutes to spare. And then the race after that, which is the one I just finished this weekend, was the Mohican 100 in Ohio. And that race wasn't too bad in the beginning. I paced conservatively. I didn't go all out. I got to mile 54 at about 12 and a half hours, and then Mother Nature kicked in, and it just poured and poured and poured, you know, poured for almost the remainder of the whole event up until the morning, and the course just became a muddy mess, you know. It took that one had a 32-hour cutoff. I wasn't pacing for, like, a PR or anything, but I ended up coming in at about 30 hours and 30 minutes on that one after hitting mile 54 at 12 and a half. So it took me an additional 18 hours to go the remaining 46 just because of the course conditions after the rain. So it got pretty wicked. So
It seems like your body's throwing everything at you. The course is throwing everything at you. Mother Nature's throwing everything at you. What is it like in your mind? Are you still having the battles? Like, I know that you're like, get you like 98, you can see the finish line. Well, you can't, but you know, it's in your mind's eye, it's there. So, but are you still having the moments throughout races where you're like doubting and you're having to then put some thought process in place to overcome those doubts? And if you are, could you help me understand what it is that you're saying to yourself to push through?
Well, I mean, the doubts come to mind sometimes about finishing, you know, like you start thinking about whether or not you can do it, but I mean, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and going. It took a while to develop the mindset to do it. You know what I'm saying? Cause I mean, there've been, coming into the year, I had 10, 100 mile finishes, but I also had, five DNFs, you know, so there were five races in the year that I didn't finish. And some of them were like just succumbing to fatigue, or I would start puking and then I would stop. And then, you know, one day I kind of put it all into perspective and everything. And, you know, I don't remember exactly which race it was, but there was one race where I was puking all over myself. I was just absolutely miserable. And I just kept telling myself to just keep going. And then eventually the feelings passed. You know what I'm saying? They just disappeared. So, I mean, like this past weekend was a rough one too, though, because I actually went into this one with a cold. I don't know if you still hear a little bit of the congestion. You know, if I go into a little coughing fit here in a minute, that's why. But, I went into it with a little bit of a cold, and like about mile 60 or so, I couldn't digest solid foods anymore. You know, but I always mix like some kind of sport drink with my Camelback and everything, just so my body's at least absorbing sugar, just in case. You know, because there's a lot of times during these races you do get indigestion where you can't absorb any food and you just puke everything up like the minute you eat it. But you just end up getting to the point where after you do so many of them, you just keep pushing forward. You get to really know yourself and what you're capable of doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of it too, though, is like these races all have medical staffs as well. So, you know, I mean, nobody's going to let you die out there. So
still, yeah, it's very interesting. Just the sheer volume of events. And I mean, even then having to turn up to some events at the moment, because you're in the pursuit of this record, like some people might do one a year, two a year. The idea that having 10 hundred milers under your belt means that you're not super experienced is like, poor, that's kind of like stretching my mind as well, because, yeah. but you, there would be people that have just done massive amounts of them over the, you know, their course of their whole life. I love the idea of one foot in front of the other. Geez, you've done some events, but if you think back to all of the events, and not even just from ultras or 100 milers, but of all the events that you've done from an endurance perspective, do you have a favorite, one that stands out in your mind?
I don't know if I'd say a favorite, though, but probably, World's Toughest Mudder is always a good time. I like that event. It's a 24-hour obstacle course race. You know, I like the obstacle course stuff, too, though. The obstacle, you know, it kind of reminds you of being a kid playing and, you know, playing out on the playground a little bit, only you just keep going until you can't go anymore. But like World's Toughest Mudder, it's a 24-hour tough mudder. You just do as many laps as you can, and then the winner is the person with the most mileage. So like that, you know, that race is always a good time. I've done it five times, so I always try to get a little better. I'm not sure if I'm going back this year or not because I have all the 100-mile distances. I mean, I am surprisingly free that weekend. There's no 100-miler scheduled, but you know, so there is the possibility I might be back for that this year. I don't know yet.
Oh no, I love it. There's a space on the calendar. I'm not going to take that time to rest. It could very well fill up with it with just a 24-hour endurance obstacle course race.
This weekend,
Your
though,
mind.
this weekend, though, I do have a rest break coming up, so
Nice,
I
nice.
don't
Well,
have
it's good
any
to.
on the calendar for this weekend coming up, which is good. I need
It's good to
it.
hear. It's good to hear you're looking after yourself. To anybody listening to this, they're like, "What? And like one spare weekend? I'd probably need the year off after my first 100 mile. Hopefully, I'll recover quicker than that." From your perspective, I mean, we've touched on a few things, but if you had to sort of say what makes up like a strong mind or a successful mindset, what would that be to you?
It's just your willingness to keep on going. I mean, like as far as these events go, like if you start to break it down, like okay, like if I schedule a 100, and then I gotta fly out there, I gotta get a rental car, I gotta get a hotel room for the night, then I gotta go to the race itself. There's just so many things going into the planning and everything. So one of the things that keeps me going though is like I came this far. There's no turning back. You know what I'm saying? Like you're already in it. You just have to commit to finishing. And you just kind of, you just see it out to the end. It's only a day. I mean, it feels like an eternity, but it's literally just only a day.
Yeah, and do you find that it seems to me that you seem to do some research, you seem to you plan well for the different things, whether or not in every race you've ever done it, and even if the planning comes from debriefing how things went. I mean, you've talked about wearing street shoes, and then I'm guessing in the next event you're like, hang on, I'm gonna have to change this up and get a different style. So has that been a constant thing for you as well as like looking at what you've done, debriefing that, and then growing and learning from those things?
Well, there is a little bit of research involved. Like 100 milers, there's different types of courses, obviously. You have your lap courses, you have your out and backs, you have your point to points. You know what I'm saying though? So like you also have your road races, your trail races. Even though I'm not really that partial to 100 milers on the road because the concrete for 100 miles is a lot different than the trail for 100 miles. I found that out at the Keys 100. Concrete's a lot harder to deal with. Usually with me though, I don't really like to use drop bags too much. Like if I'm doing a point to point, so I'll use a bigger Camelback and I'll carry stuff with me. But as far as like all these courses go, like you have to research the terrain, figure out what you're dealing with. If sometimes the flat courses don't always mean they're easier. You'll have a faster time, but the problem with flat courses though is the same muscles will take the same beating over and over and over again. So like the very first 100 miler I did, the one that put me in the hospital, was actually a flat course. So like if you have a flat course, you have to change your stride up, change your pace up, make sure you're stretching, stuff like that. So one technique that I started using that I like with the flat courses is I'll usually run for a mile, then I'll walk for a minute recovery, no matter how tired my legs are. So even from the very beginning, I'll run a mile, walk a minute, run a mile, walk a minute, and you just keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, because those little minute walk breaks in between miles, they'll save your leg on the tail end. So the very first 100-mile race where I straight up ran the first 50 miles, that's what did me in on that one. So, a lot of it is just kind of the more of them you do, the more you get to like know yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
So,
interesting.
yeah, like everybody's a little different. Like different strategies work for different people. You know what I'm saying though? So one of the biggest things like with 100-mile races, and I still make this mistake to at some points, is you can't pay attention to what other people are doing around you. Everyone has their own strategy, and some people they can jump out to a lead like in the first few hours, and then like by the end of the day they're out of the race because they burn themselves out. You know what I'm saying though? So like 100-mile races, like multi-day races, stuff like that, a lot of it's really knowing your own body and like what you're capable of doing. You know what I'm saying? So you almost have to keep yourself in check a little bit, and you have to come up with a strategy. You have to make sure you're doing everything right. You have to make sure you're timing your nutrition appropriately. Me, I like to bare bones it a little bit, just because of the amount of races I'm doing. So, I don't have too many funds like freed up to spend on like extra food, stuff like that. So like with me, I heavily depend on the aid stations. I'll bring I'll bring some anti-inflammatories out, you know, like some ibuprofen, which you got to be careful taking that stuff because sometimes it could be a little harsh, you know. But if you're taking recommended dosages, usually it's okay. You know, you can work with it. I always try to have a caffeine source on me at all times. Like going into the night and everything. Like if it's like there's a point between like 1 and 1 in the morning and sunrise where your body tries to shut itself off, and that's very difficult to get through. You know, sometimes you go through a race, you don't have problems. Other times, you know, you find yourself at 3 a.m. staggering around like an alcoholic, like trying to stay awake. And then, you know, usually for that, I'll carry like caffeine and everything on me just to kind of, you know, keep myself awake.
Give yourself a little boost. And is it like a caffeine tablet or you eat on the goose with caffeine?
Usually use like the little 5-hour energy shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like small little bottles. You just take a quick swing of them, you know, just like a little shot.
Yeah, all right. I like it. I appreciate those tips. That's awesome. And I remember in a race I was hurting a bit. My knee was hurting in another race. It was a 33K trail run. And it was like through the mud and sand. And first time I'd sort of experienced anything like that. And ladies offered me Nurofen. And at the time I was like, oh my God, that sounds great. But I'm thinking, oh, I don't know how I would, you know, would it hit my stomach? Would it help? Would it not? But the idea of potentially taking those sorts of things with me that, you know, they weren't going to be in my pack. So at least I might just take them in case I kind of need them. So it's good to sort of think of.
You know, you can always see how you respond in training to them. You know what I'm saying? Take them out on a training run, take them, run with them, see what happens, you know, just kind of mess around with it a little bit. Cause I mean, everybody's body responds a little bit differently to certain things. You know, you don't really know yourself until you get out there. You know what I'm saying? Cause what works for you may not work for you, and what works for you may not work for me. You know what I'm, you know, like everybody's a little different.
I like it. No, that's some great tips. And I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and
so it's like figure stuff out just by trial and error.
And there's, you know, hopefully a lot of race is still in me, so I'll keep growing. I love also though learning from others and hearing what might work, because sometimes people suggest things and I think like, you know what, I would never have even thought to even explore that. Probably not until I would have had some problem jump up and I'm like, then go and research. So it is nice to at least kickstart that research phase and then trialing things in training. So I certainly appreciate the tips. And from your perspective, like, you know, you've got the race nutrition and, you know, pretty much seems to be dialed in to what works for you. How are you, especially with so many events going on, how are you tackling nutrition between events? Like, do you have like guiding principles that you sort of live by?
I don't really have like a specific diet right now. I mean, I'm trying to keep my calories up in between. And I also try to make sure I keep, I keep my protein intake up, you know, I supplement a lot. I mean, I do personal training for a living. So, you know, I train clients all day long at the gym and everything though. But, in between, like right now, my weeks are dedicated almost to recovery. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really doing any running in between, but, you know, with the nutrition and everything, you know, I'm not really being too watchful of my calories. I'm still keeping the intake up, you know, because there's a huge afterburn effect though. So my body's just ripping through calories like crazy. But one of the most important things though is just to keep the protein count up, because protein's what heals your body and everything. So.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And from your.
I still kind of use like more of a. I guess like more of like a bodybuilder style diet where I still eat like every 3 hours or so. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. And it's your life is quite intriguing. You know, you're smashing yourself with these runs. You're like pushing the limits on what's possible. Like, you know, in a way, like I can just imagine you looking back and just seeing, you know, toughest mudders, potentially a world record, you know, in what could arguably be one of the most challenging things to do ever. You know, you're training clients all day in the gym, and that must be interesting for them to be able to get to work with you, and you must be inspiring to them. It's just so much sort of happening. I mean, if you had to give three tips to someone who was thinking about getting into endurance activities, you know, they might be sitting on the couch the pack of chips in their hand and the remote in the other, or you know, they might have just started out doing some running or something like that. Would you have three tips for them from your perspective?
Three tips. I would just say if they're contemplating doing it, just pick something like a few months out, you know, sign up for it. As far as training goes, you know, just let's see, tips. For somebody that's just getting into it, sometimes the biggest obstacle is just signing yourself up. Make sure you come up with a plan. You know what I'm saying? You always want to, and for a bigger event too, you always want to plan in reverse, you know, figure out what date you want to do the event and then just stack up the miles in reverse though. So like, you know, it's just basic common sense stuff. And then, you know, a lot of it with the longer endurance events, a lot of it's just the mindset. You know, there's a lot of people do have the capability to do this stuff. It's just a matter of pushing themselves to get through it and properly preparing for it. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. I like that. And so you've got all these events still to come. How much more time do you have? Like, how far through the calendar? Did it start in January?
Yeah, it started on January 18th with the Frozen H3, and it ends all the way in December. That's the last one.
Yeah. And so in December, so because, you know, you mentioned like you had turned up at that other race and you had to drop from the race. Have you got it built in that there's extra, you know, fat built in?
I had two extra races planned out and I already used them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And is there more if you need it?
Right now, my back's against the wall. If I want to finish all 42, I have to, if I want to get that to that 42 number, I have to finish everything that's coming up.
Okay. So that's interesting.
I didn't really want to burn up those races, but I had to just because my shin is still the swelling's down a little bit, but there's a little bump right here on the right.
Mm. It's hard to contemplate what, like really what you're putting yourself through, and then still managing just to keep charging. Like, you know, your reason why must be just so strong. Do you know what I mean? Like to see and interesting to see people around you. Like, have you found that you just are some like super inspiration machine to people around you? Because like no one kind of does what you do apart from that old fella.
There's a lot of people that are inspired, and then there's a lot of people that just think I'm crazy. So,
Yeah, that must be cool. I mean, you know, I can imagine that you could easily become a motivational speaker. Do you know what I mean? Like just being someone that gets around and just shares your story. I don't know if that's one of your goals, but certainly your life's like a movie.
Oh yeah.
So cool. And what's going to happen, you know, I mean, I don't want to take your mind off of what you're doing for the rest of this year because there's still a fair bit to be done. But what have you got any thoughts in mind after you finish this? What might be next, like for 2020 and beyond?
I mean, like usually every year there's something that's a little bit different that I do. You know, like 2016, I got, you know, like 2015 and prior, I was just like doing races. 2016, I got a little bit on the triathlon side. 2017 was my big Tough Mudder year. I did about 30 of those that year. 2018 started out like as an ultra year, but then I chipped my talus bone and I couldn't do the excessive distance. So I reduced myself to just doing, I ended up doing like 43 Spartan races last year. And then this year was going to be more Spartan based again until I started to get on a roll with the 100s. And then I kind of changed my goal on the fly to see, you know, I researched the number and everything and I found the appropriate amount of events and everything to do to, you know, break the record. So I decided to tackle the 100 record. Next year, a few of the things I might try to do, that Infinitus race that I told you about, they have an 888K option where they give you 10 days to run 888K. I might try to tackle that.
Whoa.
But how I feel after the year ends will kind of dictate that a little bit. There's also a Peak 500, so that's a 500-mile version of the 100 I did this year. That's also an option. Then on the GORUCK side of things, you know, because I do some of those events sparingly, I might try to do that GORUCK selection event. So that's like a mock, like special forces type selection. You know, it's just like an overall endurance challenge where you just basically go through like a boot camp style beat down for like 48 hours. I might try to tackle that. I'm not sure yet. You know, just a lot of next year dictates just how my body feels after the year's over. And of course, I may also just take a year off to replenish my finances, because I'm probably going to be pretty broke by the time the year's over.
Yeah, because a lot of these events do cost a bit of money, and like you said,
they cost a lot of money. But at the same time, though, this is one of those things where, like, if I were to accomplish this is something that's going to stick with me for life. You know what I'm saying? It goes a little bit above and beyond like the cost of the event, you know.
Yeah, and do you find that you have been turning up at events, and then all of a sudden you get to them and you're like, oh, and you learn about this next thing? Like, it might have been like you're at your first Tough Mudder, and then you hear about World's Toughest Mudder at some point, and then you're at this race and you hear about the 888K. Has that been interesting that there? I mean, maybe the world's just unfolding in that way, but it seems that there's all these things that are bigger and better that you may not have even known about. Has that been intriguing to turn up to things and then someone's like, oh yeah, but have you heard about the XYZ race?
Oh yeah. Every race, you know, there's always somebody that's done something that's way above and beyond that, you know, like you just find out about new things every time you go out somewhere. You know what I'm saying though? Cause I mean, it's just a community. It's such a great community. It's, you know, most people just want to go out and see what they're capable of. And then, you know, you meet some people that have done like races or events that cross like the US and stuff like that. There's always something out there that's like gigantic and massive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the other day I was watching, I think it was Ross Edgley, and he just swam around Great Britain or something. You know what I mean? Like some, just
there's always insane. Something out there like gigantic, yeah. You definitely type of people that do these type of events, you do run into them and everything, and then you find out about this stuff and it'd be like, oh, that's cool. I want to see if I can attempt that, you know?
Yeah, that's what's really cool, is that you're that guy. Do you know, like, you, it's cool that you're running into those people for you, but you're that guy to all of us. The one that's running all these events, and you're this, we're looking at you thinking like, how on earth is this person human? Like, you know, like if we cut your arm, does blood pour out, or is it actually just like mechanical bits in there?
I'm still human. I still have issues from this stuff, believe me.
Yeah. But
it's just the mind state to push through it, you know?
I like it. And if you had to sort of think about, you know, your journey into endurance sports, would you, you know, we've talked about a few of the things, and especially that willingness to go on and knowing your body seems to be in amongst it, but would there be any other benefits that you think being an endurance athlete's brought into your life?
I'm mainly like a stronger mindset, you know what I'm saying? There's a huge link between the mental and physical, like as far as like pushing yourself to do things, you know what I'm saying? Let me see what I can think of. You kind of look back at these things and you just realize, you start to realize, it's like, you know, like you're almost in disbelief yourself that you pulled it off, but you pull it off. But, you know, like something like, you know, running 100 miles versus, I don't know, getting up for work. You know what I'm saying? Like it kind of gives you the drive to go above and beyond and do more things just in like your own life and everything, you know?
Yeah. You like know, it dwarfs the little things.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Look, this catch up has been so fun. Look, just getting to a window into what you're doing. You know, hearing that you're pushing yourself to do. You've been not well, and you're still managing it. I really am, like, you know, in your corner and hoping that you can make it all the way to December and back up against the wall, or not. You hit that mark, and have some fun along the way. Not too many more injuries. Hopefully, you know, thoughts are with you to be injury free as best you can be. But if people wanted to follow along on your journey,
yeah, this is a large scale goal too, though. So it's something that, like, you know, obviously, like, not every race I'm going to go out and, like, try to PR. I'm going to try to keep a conservative pace just to kind of keep myself healthy, you know, because it's, like, a season-long thing. It's not like I have, like, that one race that I'm shooting for, you know? So
yeah. It's so interesting. Your season is potentially 4,200 milers. Like, I've done, like, a triathlon season recently. I think I did five, you know, small, the shortest distance triathlons, like the little ones that, like, just a bit longer than my kids do. not even sometimes in twices. Let's be totally honest. But you know, it's just, yeah, you're stretching my mind space, and I absolutely love when that happens. But I'll be continuing to watch you, you know, what you're doing. I've been following along on Facebook, but for people that wanted to follow along and continue, and I mean, I'm actually thinking of this, do you take online clients from the PT or only face to face?
I could do online clients. I haven't really been active with it lately. I've mostly been training out of the gym. I have had online clients in the past though. So
if people wanted to reach out and perhaps, you know, touch base, because I can see even from a mindset perspective that you'd be able to offer a lot of potential assistance, let alone with plans and everything else that you're doing. But if people wanted to reach out or follow along on your journey, how would they do that?
Well, I came up with a Facebook page. I called it Billy the 100 Mile Slayer. You know, I just came up with a name just based off of fun, pretty much. It's kind of funny though, because I wanted something that kind of like caught on a little bit though, and it kind of sounded, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, it kind of sounded like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I was like Billy the 100 Mile Slayer. So I kind of, you know, I kind of based it around that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's my Facebook. Instagram, it's simple. It's just Billy the Trainer. No spaces, no underscores, no anything. Billy the Trainer. That's it. I mean, those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. I don't really have a website set up. I do have a progress like a quest page set up. It's dm.life/billy100.
Cool. You know, and that's awesome.
Pretty much, that I have a listing of the races that I've done, and every time I complete one, I put a check mark up, so it shows my progress. So right now I'm about 43% through. So nice. And then bottom of it, because it has been an expensive journey. So I do have a fundraiser link post. If you know, if anyone wants to show support or whatever, there's a back me button at the bottom. So
awesome. Yeah, well, that sounds great, because it's like, you know, and not only is it a legacy for you, seeing records broken and you know, being able to support someone that does those things, it actually gives us all permission to do the same and potentially aim up bigger challenges. And who knows, maybe someone listening to this will aim up 43.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's always, you know, it's always great to inspire people and everything too. You know, I've been getting a lot of positive feedback and everything, and it's been a wonderful thing. It really has.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good. Well, anyone listening to this, you know, find Billy's, you know, back me page, drop a few dollars in there. You know, a few dollars, you might skip a couple of cups of coffee, but it'll help Billy achieve the world record or the record there for the most done, and keep inspiring us from a distance. But again, I just want to say a massive thank you, Billy, for taking the time to have a chat today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.